Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Most history books relegate the Holy Roman Empire to the distant past. Supposedly, it began with Charlemagne in the 700s and ended with the Habsburgs in the 1500s. But your Bible has a lot to say about that. We have an incredible book available to you for free at thetrumpet.com titled The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. And notice here, starting on page 8, what it talks about. The Holy Roman Empire, which is foretold throughout the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. Revelation 17 really does give us a lot of information, along with the Holy Roman Empire in prophecy. This is Revelation 17, verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Verse 6 says, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Imagine being the Apostle John and receiving this terrifying vision of the Holy Roman Empire. And as this book, The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy, explains, the whore, or the woman, here in Revelation chapter 17, represents a church. The beast represents a kingdom. And finally, you have the saints, the true church of God, being attacked by this woman or this great false church. These are the main characters of Revelation chapter 17. Notice Revelation 17, verse 4, where it talks about how this woman is arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. This false church is known worldwide for being wealthy, overflowing with riches and splendor. People worldwide revere this church and this false religion. This vision here in Revelation 17 describes the woman riding the beast. The church is the one really in control of this kingdom, of this empire, the Holy Roman Empire. Revelation 17, verse 2, talks about the church, the false church, wielding political influence, swaying the nations to fulfill its will. Revelation 17, verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. This is a church not content to simply shepherd its members into the kingdom of God or to teach the truth of God to mankind. No, this church has global ambitions. This church wants to rule the world today by exerting political control. Revelation 17, The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy, page 9 says, Revelation 17 is clear. This religion is incredibly wealthy. It has a global presence and influence. It is a potent force in politics and international relations, and it uses the beast to pursue its grim ambitions. Now remember, this beast has seven heads and 10 horns. Verse 9 says that the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. So really, it's seven separate kingdoms. Seven different resurrections of one empire. Now, the Holy Roman Empire is not just a name assigned by men to an ancient Germanic kingdom. The history books do recognize the existence of the Holy Roman Empire, but like I said, they say it started with Charlemagne in the 700s and ended with the Habsburgs in the 1500s. The fact is, the Holy Roman Empire began before Charlemagne, and it is still around today. Your Bible says the Holy Roman Empire is seven iterations of a powerful, violent church-state combine with the goal of resurrecting the glory of the old Roman Empire. The Bible says nothing about the Holy Roman Empire being controlled by the Germans or the Austrians in the case of the Habsburgs. The Bible just says there will be seven rises of this old Holy Roman Empire, this old Roman Empire, regardless of who is in charge. Even if most of the time Germany is in charge, just know that there will be seven resurrections, seven distinct kingdoms controlled by a church, pointing us back to the glory of the old Roman Empire. While history books tell us that the Holy Roman Empire ended in the 16th century, the truth is that the two most recent versions of the Holy Roman Empire have been the most destructive ones yet. And the seventh and final resurrection rising on the world scene today will be immeasurably worse than the previous six combined. Let's take a look at the fifth and sixth resurrections of the Holy Roman Empire that occurred after this empire supposedly ended. This will provide a preview of the unprecedented carnage and bloodshed to be inflicted by the seventh and final resurrection. Again, you can get a free copy of The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy at thetrumpet.com. And this is just enthralling history. And it's not just history. It is prophecy. We can learn from ancient history to understand our world today and to know what is coming. There are horrifying times just ahead. However, we can look beyond that as well and see the hope. Chapter 6 of the Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy is titled Napoleon, Son of Rome. Napoleon Bonaparte led France, and the church led Napoleon, and Napoleon used the Catholic Church to increase his power. This was the fifth resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. The woman riding the beast, as it talks about there in Revelation 17. Remember, the main definition, the most important definition by far of the Holy Roman Empire is the one in the Bible that says the old Roman Empire would rise on the world scene seven more times with the church in charge. Napoleon believed that he was a Roman emperor. He really tried to uphold Roman standards. He said, "I am a Roman emperor. I come from the best line of Caesars, the Caesars who build." Napoleon sought to rebuild the old Roman Empire. and he needed the power of the Catholic Church to do so. Napoleon revered Charlemagne, who is often considered the founder of the Holy Roman Empire, when really he was only the leader of the second resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. The empire actually began with Justinian before Charlemagne. But Napoleon revered Charlemagne. He wanted to follow Charlemagne's example. This is what the Holy Roman Empire in prophecy says on page 116, comparing Napoleon and Charlemagne. Both men pursued their ambition with the sword. Both were ruthless. Both valued and promoted culture and education. And as was the case with every manifestation of the Holy Roman Empire, Napoleon relied on the Catholic Church to provide the moral and spiritual legitimacy required to fulfill his vain ambitions. Napoleon made pilgrimage to Aachen, Charlemagne's home and burial place. He used the spread eagle, the symbol of Rome and Charlemagne, as his own standard. Napoleon really was a holy Roman emperor. Now, Napoleon really did use the spiritual power provided by the Catholic Church to try to forcibly expand his empire. Now, he did love culture and education. It wasn't all brute force, but under the surface of the culture and the education, the shiny veneer, there was a dungeon of violence. Napoleon was crowned king of Italy, just like Charlemagne was. So many people know all about Napoleon today, yet very few people actually understand Charlemagne. And yet Charlemagne is the inspiration of the European Union today. Leaders in Europe revere Charlemagne just like Napoleon did. Napoleon did not intend to serve religion, but to use it. It says in a book called The Catholic Church Through the Ages, A History. The church was a political tool, an instrument of the government. Napoleon chose the bishops, the Pope approved the bishops, and then the bishops appointed parish priests. The clergy was paid a salary by the state. The state controlled the practice of religious worship. So there was give and take here between the church and the state. It was a robust relationship. Napoleon saw a huge opportunity in aligning himself with the Catholic Church. Now, I mean, really, it's just fascinating to look at this history because it's just really a replica of what we see going on in Europe today. It has happened six times before. It's happening again today. And every time the Catholic Church got involved, violence followed in Europe. Napoleon's relationship with the Holy Roman Empire was not always peaceful. In fact, at one point, he was excommunicated by the church. He took the Pope prisoner. But eventually, there was reconciliation. Napoleon had regrets later on at the hard approach that he took toward the church. But notice what happened in Europe thanks to Napoleon and the Catholic Church working together. Page 123 talks about the Napoleonic Wars. Exceptionally bloody conflicts. 4 million people died in these wars because Napoleon was never content with the land he ruled. He always wanted more. Now, Napoleon did eventually fall at Waterloo. The fifth resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire did end when Napoleon was defeated, but the Holy Roman Empire did not end. Chapter 7 of the Holy Roman Empire and Prophecy is titled World War II and Hitler's Pope. The sixth resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire really began in Italy with Benito Mussolini. Other fascist states like Hitler's Germany were part of this sixth resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire as well. And this is where the history of the Catholic Church gets particularly disturbing. The Catholic Church had plenty of opportunities to undermine Hitler as he aimed to exterminate the Jews. And yet, really, the church almost every time sat back and did nothing. Hitler was inspired by the Catholic Jesuits. He wanted his SS officers to follow the example of the Jesuits, swearing undying allegiance to him, just like the Jesuits did to the Pope. Adolf Hitler admired the way the Vatican operated, and he really did receive a lot of moral and spiritual support from the church. And you need to really go through this history and understand it, because it's pretty hard to believe. It's shocking to believe that a church that is so popular around the world today could have been so complicit in the Holocaust against the Jews. Hitler was very anti-communist, just like the Vatican was at this time. The Vatican needed to be defended from the threat of communism and the revolutions that would topple its power. And Adolf Hitler was the perfect man to fight back against communism. Archbishop Pacelli, who later became Pope Pius XII, was actually a huge influence in Hitler's Third Reich. Now, some of these Vatican leaders were not too friendly toward the Jews themselves. And so to them, it wasn't very hard for them to actually sit back and do nothing while Hitler rounded up the Jews, even right outside the Vatican City walls. And the Pope could pretty much see it happening from his window and did nothing about it. Hitler gave a speech praising the Catholic Church, underscoring its importance in German history. Hitler needed the Pope to support him. Hitler made a deal with the Catholic Church in July 1933, and he actually said this deal with the Vatican would be especially significant in the urgent struggle against international Jewry. Hitler knew that aligning with the Catholic Church would help him in his goal to wipe out the Jews. At the very least, Hitler knew that the Catholic Church would not stop him. And in fact, tacitly, Pope Pius XII supported Hitler. He never directly condemned what Hitler was doing. Never mentioned him by name to condemn him for exterminating an entire race of people by the millions. How is there any excuse for that? And yet today, Pope Pius the 12th is at least on the way to sainthood. This is a process where everything in his life is reviewed by church historians for decades. They examine to find out, is there anything disqualifying in his life that would prevent him from being declared a saint? And the historians find nothing. Nothing wrong with the legacy of Pope Pius XII. He never spoke up to save the Jews. He never intervened to temper Hitler's ambitions. He did nothing while Hitler rounded up the Jews right outside his city wall. In fact, the Vatican even supported a Nazi puppet regime in Croatia. The president, the first leader of Croatia, was Ante Pavelic. And Pavelic was doing to the Serbs what Hitler was doing to the Jews. Pavelic even possessed a large bowl full of Serbian eyeballs in his home. He tortured the Serbs just like Hitler did to the Jews. And Pope Pius XII was very close to Ante Pavelic as well. He met with Pavelic in April 1941. He never condemned Pavelic. He actually promised to give Pavelic his personal blessing, even though he knew that Croatia was committing atrocities against the Serbs. Again and again and again, we see this church preoccupied only with obtaining power at all costs, any cost at all, even if it means extermination and torture and genocide, sickening violence. As long as it means the Catholic Church gets more power, they're willing to do it. It's hard to even read this history. And that's not even mentioning the rat lines. The Catholic Church helped thousands of Nazi fugitives escape prosecution after World War II, especially to South America. A coordinated effort to help the Nazis go underground after losing World War II. And none of this would have been possible if not for Bishop Hudal, who was instrumental in this ratline operation. This is just sickening stuff to read. And yet the church today is revered and respected by billions of people. This church that is behind some of the most appalling acts of evil and violence in world history. We should not sit back and say nothing as God's church today, when we know this history and we know what this church and this beast are prophesied to do yet again. This is sobering, grisly history. And it's also a forerunner of the future. To learn more about the Holy Roman Empire, plus the empire that is prophesied to defeat it permanently, request the Holy Roman Empire in prophecy. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.